Welcome to the Slow Living Podcast. If you are ready to ditch hustle culture for good while continuing to meet your personal and professional goals, you are in the right place. I'm your host, Stephanie O'Day, and I work with overachievers from all over the world who are ready to stop living life in triage mode and start living the life of their dreams, one filled with abundance, joy, and a sense of purpose. Life is meant to be enjoyed, not endured. Let's get started. Hi there, Slow Down Society. Steph here, and welcome back to another edition of the Slow Living Podcast. Today is the second part of the first coaching session that I have with Shelly, and it's a fun conversation. We bounce around an awful lot. We're still unpacking her family dynamics, and as we ended this previous episode, so the first episode with Shelly, if you haven't listened, you should go back and listen, because we don't really recap at all. We just continue our conversation. She's got a lot of arms and legs in her family. And what I like about how she talks about her family is it's just very matter of fact. And I want to give a little bit of a trigger warning that suicide gets brought up in this coaching call. And I just want you to be forewarned. It's not suicidal ideation on her part. It's just talking about a family member. And I just want to put that trigger warning out there. That said, we talk about quite a bit. I bring up the Lindsay C. Gibson book yet again, which is Adult Children of Emotionally Immature Parents. And there's quite a few past podcast episodes that I bring that book up, but it's helpful. If you're a grown-up and you haven't really healed from your own childhood, stuff keeps coming to the surface over and over again. And so it's just really something that as you grow and age and interact with other adults, you can sort of see, oh, okay, they're still grappling with some stuff that happened in their past, or, oh, they're still not fully healed from their own childhood. And so I am not one to diagnose in any way. I love all of you absolutely unconditionally, but it's also not fun to consistently kind of beat your head against the wall. If you're trying to get someone else to change, you're not going to be able to do that. So that's what mostly this coaching session is about. And again, I am so grateful for you for being here, for listening, and so I'm very grateful for Shelly for sharing her story and being vulnerable. Okay, here's the episode. So talk to me about boundary setting and taking care of your bio dad and the fact that surgeries are his hobby and you have turned into his sort of ad hoc driver and caregiver for all these years, even though he was absentee. That's kind of a lot.
It is. It can be very aggravating. And he's very, I would guess that he suffers from depression. Like I said, he's very bitter. He does not like people. You cannot get him to. So I feel like at times that I am his only social contact. Mm-hmm. You know, he hates his neighbors, and it's just.
Yeah. And he's also willingly putting himself through pain to have these surgeries and then have other people care for him.
Because, he thinks he's dying every day. I mean, but my mom said he was like that when he was 20. He couldn't watch TV because he had whatever, disease that he saw.
Okay.
I mean, literally, he's just, and granted, he has had cancer, but it's been in remission for like 40 years. But, one time his cancer doctor had said that he would die of a heart attack before he died of cancer. So then he was like, oh, I have a heart condition. I'm like, no, I don't think that's what he meant. I think you're misinterpreting what the doctor said.
The phone rings or it's a text and it's from him, what is your first reaction?
An eye roll.
You're annoyed.
Yeah, and I've been remiss. I mean, I used to have him over like every Sunday for dinner, and but I just lately it's just been so much. I'm just aggravated all the time with him.
I've brought it up on the podcast before. Have you ever read the book? It's Lindsay Gibson, Adult Children of Emotionally Immature Parents.
No.
Okay. I'll put that in the notes for your homework. It's worth a read, because it talks about different levels of emotional immaturity, like such as narcissism and different things. And for you as a child, your hope, of course, is that your caregiver is a full-fledged, emotionally regulated person, but that doesn't happen usually. And
Yeah.
so this book and working through some of the things that she wants you to do can be healing, because and especially when you're trying to heal yourself and your parent isn't going to do the work on themselves to better, you just have to unfortunately take them
Yeah.
for who they are.
Yeah, I mean, I would love to just have some fun with him.
Yeah.
Like to go be able to go to coffee or go to breakfast. And not
Yeah.
have everything focused around sitting in the hospital waiting room.
Right. And so a big part of it is realizing that's just not going to happen,
Yeah.
and being at peace with that. And it sucks. It's not fair, and it's
Yeah.
not right, and that is not what you deserve. You deserve much, much, much better. And so once you come to terms with that, then you acknowledge this is who he is, and he's not going to change. It's funny, one of my long-term coaching clients, she uses the term going to the hardware store. So if the hardware store sells tool, and she actually brought it up that her daughter came up with this, that the hardware store sells tools. That's all they sell is tools and hardware stuff. And so if you're trying to buy a loaf of fresh bread, you're not going to go to the hardware store. So if you're looking for love and maybe an apology and maybe an acknowledgement that, wow, I'm kind of a bitter person and this isn't fair for you and you're a people pleaser and I'm probably taking advantage of you right now, that might be really lovely for you to hear,
Yeah.
but the hardware store doesn't sell that. You're not going to go get your loaf of fresh bread
That's
from
for
there.
sure.
Yeah, that is a lot though, Shelley. That's a lot to unpack. Yeah. Yeah. I think we'll have you read that book and then maybe begin brainstorming what some healthy boundaries would look like.
Yes.
We know already it won't be a healthy relationship. And so acknowledging that, and then you get to decide if are you wanting to deal with this or are you not? I mean, right now you are dealing with it. And so if that's your choice to continue to do it, then coming up with some sort of hard nose
Yeah.
preemptively, like
And
if
I
this,
will con and I know I will continue. So.
but if like if something like this happens and like scenario it out, map it out. If this happens, then I know my answer is going to be no, but I can order you an Uber or something like that. But then
Yes.
you always have it, you have a plan. So then you don't have to react or think in the moment. You can just look through the plan you created when you are calm.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Definitely need to get him more Uber rides.
Well, I mean, yeah, I mean, back in the day before Uber existed, it was such a hassle to come up with ready wheels and all of these different
It's
things.
frustrating for somebody that at his age that there's just no there's no benefits for any kind of transportation like you think there should be. There's really not for them, you know. Because he has a very, very low income, like poverty level. You know, he's on food stamps, everything. And but there's just not, I cannot find any transportation coverage for him. It's frustrating because he has a lot of doctor's appointments. A couple weeks ago, he had 12 in like 9 days.
Yeah, that's a lot.
It
Yeah,
was
and yeah, and every time they're
a lot.
like, and now we need a blood draw, and now we need this. Yeah,
Yeah,
it's
I
an
mean, it
awful
was like
lot.
a lot. I was, and I just, and he sent me this text, and I was like, my face was like,
Yeah.
what are you getting done?
Yeah.
You know, but he is also, which I'm guessing I got this like somehow genetically, if a doctor tells him, hey, this is your appointment time, he will never say that does not work for me.
Okay.
Like I tell him, I said, if you need me to drive you need to make these appointments in the late afternoon. You cannot ask me to drive in rush hour traffic to an hour away appointment that's going to take us 2 hours to drive through to when I have to work. So I definitely think that's that was some kind of genetic thing going on, but because if he thinks somebody's
Yeah.
an authority, he will not.
Yeah. So I wrote down while you were talking a very powerful phrase, and you just said it. And the phrase was, "That does not work for me." And
I'm just
what a great sentence.
getting better, but like, you know, and then when I say something like that to him, then he takes it personally.
Yeah,
And
well,
then I feel
so
guilty because he is starts pushing back on me.
it
Well, I'm
might
sorry
be,
I'm such a burden. It's like, you
sure.
are.
Yeah. So, but there's yes, it's a lot to for a parent-child relationship to say that does not work for me, but you could start putting that into your day-to-day vocabulary with work things or different things that come up. Even as simple as like dentist appointments for you and hair appointments. Oh, that doesn't work for me. And then just wait. You don't have to solve the problem. Let the other person.
See? Yes. I try to solve it all.
Yeah.
You know, I'm that doesn't work for me, and then I'm segueing right into let me see what else I can move around.
Let me see how I can accommodate you.
Yes.
So I would like for you to be selfish for a little bit. And maybe not forever, but maybe for these 6 weeks that we're working together and Shelly first.
Yeah.
Yeah. All decisions, all appointments, all things go well. Is that working for me? Is that help me or hinder me? How will this help me?
I learned need to learn to let go too, because my cousin is the one that's supposed to, that's getting paid to take him to appointments, but she's always late. I'm always worried she's not going to show up, but I have to let it go. It's not my right? That's hard.
You can't control your cousin.
Because then I'm like, is she there yet?
If she falls through and he misses an appointment.
Oh, God.
Well, let's map that out. He'll be mad, but he won't die.
He'll tell you he's going to. For sure. For sure. So. I mean, his doctor's appointments are very important to him.
Do you ever listen to the radio and you know you're listening? But you're not absorbing anything that it's saying because you're thinking of other things.
Yeah, because I always have podcasts going in the background when I'm at work.
Yeah.
And then I have
So
to re-listen all the time.
if your dad just wants to monologue at you, are you able to tune him out?
Yeah, I gotta. He mostly texts, and when I say text, they're like.
Okay. Okay.
So I'm learning to skim those and not. I just can't even read them.
Okay. Can we put some barriers on your phone where you have blackout hours? So he can
Yeah.
still text, but it won't be delivered to your phone
Yes.
until a certain time? Okay.
That's a good idea.
Okay. Blackout hours. Okay. I'm writing this down.
Oh
I'll
my God,
take
I
notes
love
so you
that.
don't need
I want
to.
blackout hours for just everybody.
Okay.
My
Okay.
phone
Well, let's
makes me
think about that.
resentful. It just, I'm con it's just
Okay, with text or with emails?
both.
Okay.
I've just, that's one of my goals this year is to declutter electronically.
Hey, this is Kelsey. You may remember me from the real life coaching sessions. It's been a while since I did my coaching, and I'm happy to report that I'm still thriving. I could say so many wonderful things about how my life has changed for the better and how I finally built confidence in myself, but what I really want to talk about is the podcast itself. I was really struggling to find myself, and I was wondering how to make everything just slow down. So I literally Googled it, and Slow Living popped up. The Slow Living podcast was my first step into Stephanie's world of ditching hustle culture for good, and I haven't looked back. The coolest part of the podcast is being able to look up whatever is going on with me and finding an episode. Stephanie really hits all aspects of life, and I'm always feeling better after listening. I can't even tell you how many times I've listened to the episode dealing with disappointment to help me through a hard day. I remember crying the first few times because I had felt so alone before, and yet here was Stephanie telling me I'm not alone and that I'm wonderful and she loves me. So give it a listen and know that Stephanie and I think you're wonderful too.
Okay, a digital detox.
Yeah, I mean, I wake up to 200 junk email. I mean, it's just, because you have to put your email, and in hindsight, 10 years ago, why didn't I think of having a separate email to use for just websites?
Got it.
But I
Okay.
did, so it would not come to my email that I need to use every day.
Okay.
Because I get up in the morning and I'm deleting 200 emails easily.
Okay.
Ugh.
But you're not unsubscribing, you're just deleting.
I try to unsubscribe at the same time.
Okay.
Think, the unsubscribe doesn't, it's not a, it doesn't a lot of work with a lot of companies.
It really is. I'm not
They,
enjoying
it's the,
how
it's like a wink, wink. They're like, okay, yes, you're unsubscribed. And then the next day I'm all, okay, come on.
Yeah, I notice, especially if I'm on my phone and I'm trying to unsubscribe, now it wants me to retype in my email address. I'm like,
Yeah.
you have it already.
I know. Yeah, so that's I do the Gmail, so it's so I've been hitting as I'm before I delete, I'm unsubscribe. So I
Okay.
just feel like it's never ending. They just find a way to worm into your and just
Okay.
your time, your brain.
Okay. So I would like if I'll put a time blocking worksheet. So there's a few different ways that you can do it. It can be a PDF and you can handwrite it, or it can be like a Google Sheet. And so it can be digital. And with the Google Sheet, you can add like this is a perfect, a quote unquote perfect day for Monday, for Tuesday, and that kind of stuff. For right now, for calendaring with your appointments for work and then your dad, are things, how are you mapping out your time?
I use my Harry Potter planner.
Oh, that's cute. Okay.
I am a
Okay.
Potterhead. I'm
Okay.
an adult Potterhead. I have robes and everything. Yeah,
Okay.
so I'm a planner person.
Are you taking time off from work to take your dad to his appointments?
Sometimes. So I try when I have, but I have, like I said, I haven't had to do it in a couple weeks, so which is good. So I'm hoping this works out. I don't have a lot of confidence that it's going to work out, but right now it is.
Okay.
He's got somebody, to take him.
Okay.
So, but yes, so,
Okay.
and like I said, all of his appointments are very far away. So I try. So what happens is it just screws up my whole day. So if he has an 8 o'clock appointment, that means that I have to block out from 7 to 9:30 or 10 o'clock.
Yeah.
Then I go into work, and then I have to work late into the day, which I don't want to do at all. I want to be leaving and cut be,
Okay. So work will give you that sort of flexibility that
Right
as
now,
long as you're
yes.
okay. All
Yeah.
right. That's lovely. That's lovely. And you
So
don't
yeah, so
want
it
to
is
take advantage
nice.
of them either.
No, and I just and they understand I'm my boss, she's taking care, she's I feel like she's got like three elderly parents that she's taking care of, and one with dementia, and so she gets it. So the thing, so that is one thing in the last probably year and a half that she has definitely changed, because she was always a very intense work person that worked till like 9 o'clock at night every night,
Mm-hmm.
with taking care of the elderly family members, it has softened her, and she's like, realizing that because it takes up all of her. So
Yeah.
she kind of she gets it now that when people have other outside responsibilities.
Your brother, who was sort of instrumental in getting you to reconnect with your bio dad, where is he with helping to take care of him?
Oh no, he's not. He killed himself.
Oh my,
Am
Shelley.
I just I'm just giving you all kinds of so that was that I think will be 2 years in August. It was not really unexpected. We were estranged. I had not talked to him in at least 10 years. He was a prescription drugs and alcohol, and he was a hot mess, which is unfortunate because he was very successful. He had been he was an alcoholic from a young age. He had been in recovery for 19 years. He was married. He was a federal agent, very successful, and then he fell off the wagon and just spiraled, left his wife. It was a mess.
Okay,
And
that's a
then he
lot.
got mean when he got really mean. He left his wife and he married this skank that we went to high school with. It was a mess. So it was, while it was shocking to be told that he killed himself, it was not, I mean, it was either going to be, you're almost glad because it was going to be either an OD, which his wife had OD'd in very weird circumstances, or he was going to kill himself, or the bigger fear was that he was going to be somebody that shot other people first.
Wow.
Because he was that much of a mess. So, that it just, because I was not close to him anymore, we were very close growing up. We all four of us were. And then we always just, I mean, I think we mourned who he used to be.
Sure.
That, and he hadn't been that in like so long. So he's no help. But he wasn't help when he was, and he wasn't help anyway. He
Yeah.
just, I think he just, because he was kind of a, he was definitely a narcissist. But, so there's that. Now that was funny too. My boss one time had said, "Well, can't your sister help with your dad?" I'm all, "I wish, but it's not her dad."
Yeah.
Like,
Yeah.
we've all got our hands full.
Are you trying really hard to be the one to keep it all together for everybody?
Now, my sister, my younger sister, she is the driving force in taking care of my mom right now,
Okay.
and she's good at it. My sister's very strong. She's very pragmatic.
Okay.
She's good at boundary setting,
Okay.
very straightforward, and she has a little bit more time. She doesn't. She's an RN. She does not work full time, so she has a little bit more time. And my mom's a little bit easier to take care of. She's got some health issues which affect her memory, and so which it's hard to tell if it's her physical issues that are causing the memory loss in conjunction with maybe the onset of dementia. It's hard to know. We're still navigating that right now.
Okay.
But my
So
sister takes the lead on that.
if you're in your early 60s, you're looking at your 80s in 20 years, have you thought about what type of old lady you want to be and what you're not going to do or be?
Well, I hope I'm not working. That's number one.
Okay.
Oh my God, I want to work in the yard. I want to get back. I have this whole room that I'm in. This is my, I mean, my hopes and halibut. My husband's going fishing today.
Okay.
So I'm hoping he
Okay.
catches a halibut for
I
dinner.
hope so too.
This is my craft room.
Okay.
I scrapbook like all of my nieces. Since I don't have kids, I scrapbook for all my nieces and nephews, all of their events, and that's I love scrapbooking. I love documenting writing. So yeah, I would figure I'll be in here, and I love trying new things creatively. I will
Okay.
take, I mean, I've taken classes on stained glass and, upholstery, neither of which I will ever do again. I will gladly pay for people to do that now that I know how hard it is. But yeah, I would like to be more involved with the community. I just, and I think that I will be, I think physically I'll be fine in my 80s. I just knock on wood. I mean, Jesus, I don't want to be like my dad. That my whole life is just going to the doctor.
If where you are now is the starting point and you draw out that line graph, will you get to where you want to be in your 80s if you stay on this same path, or is there something that
No.
needs to shift? Okay, what needs to shift?
I need to plan better for retirement. I mean, all I have right now is going to be Social Security, and I have a 401k. I mean, it's just I didn't wasn't planning ahead when I was younger.
Okay. So is that your primary concern, are the finances in
Yeah.
retirement? Okay. And
Yeah, I want to get this house paid
health-wise,
off.
okay. And health-wise, you're doing fine with your health. The
Yeah.
lumpectomy worked and all that.
Yes. And I did all the radiation. So I'll go back in August. I think I'll have my next mammogram. And I was very confident even when they diagnosed me. That was such a, it was more of an annoyance back then because it was like, really? Because it was like, because the colon cancer is what runs in my family, both sides, rampant. And then I'm the first one, I'm like, what do you mean I have breast cancer? So
Are
I
you
have
up
every,
to date with your colonoscopies?
yes. Yeah. I had so many, a few years ago, I had gallstones, but they couldn't diagnose me. I knew what it was. I couldn't eat. Right. It was just like all these things. So they kept giving me scans. So I had, I think in a two, it was like over a year period, I had like three colonoscopies because they kept saying I don't have gallstones. They finally went in for surgery and they, I woke up out of anesthesia and the surgeon was like, we are so sorry. They're like, your gallbladder was so full of stones, there was no contrast on the scans. They kept telling me
Wow.
I was crazy. It ended up in the ER with pancreatitis. Yeah, so I had so many colonoscopies. I think I'm good for the next. And my mom has them. And because, and that's the other thing is when your parents have had the colon cancer, and if they keep testing clear, it's bodes better for what, I don't know, their doctor explained it to me, but I do, yes, I keep up on those kind of scans.
Okay.
Yeah.
Okay. You
So I've had
talk
a couple of
about.
medical things, but I'm otherwise though, day to day, I'm healthy.
Okay.
So if it's going to be something, it's going to be something like surgical, right?
Yeah.
Take my gallbladder out.
You talked about house being paid off, and then also said you had a 401k and then also Social Security. Do you know those numbers? Do you know what the mortgage currently is, and have you been able to log into Social Security to see what those payments will be?
Yes. So my mortgage, I think I have like 160 left on it. Which is nice here in, Southern
Yeah.
California.
Yeah.
Super nice.
And so far we saw Prop 13.
Yes.
Yay, Prop 13.
I know. Oh.
Okay. But like logging into Social Security is not a fun thing to do. There's so many different steps, but it is helpful to see, like, oh, whoa, I'm gonna actually be getting
Yeah, so
this.
there's like another thing, and I have a couple of tax years that I'm missing, so my Social Security is not going to be
Okay.
accurate.
Okay.
But I think the last time I looked, it was like in the 2000s,
Okay.
and
Great.
then
Okay. And then with the 401k, do you have an advisor or?
no, it's just it's just something I can do, and I tried not to look at it, especially right now with things going nuts. Like I didn't look at it for 5 years.
Okay.
Like, especially I didn't open it during COVID.
Okay.
No
So it, I
way.
mean, the good news is it is higher today than it was
Yeah, so I
five
think so.
years
I
ago.
did check on it about a month or so ago, and I think I have 60 grand in one and maybe another 8 to 10 grand in this another one
Okay.
from a previous job. I mean, because I have little ones from previous jobs that I've just never touched.
Okay.
I should roll them all in together, but.
No, that's okay. So the down and dirty mathing, you should probably at least paper napkin it out to figure out what your monthly living expenses are, and then figure out if what you have will cover that, or if you need some aggressive savings or things
We'll
like
probably
that.
need some aggressive savings, and I will need to work on my husband reining in that you just, he's 72. Oh no, 73. He just turned 73.
Okay.
He's still
And
ripping.
he's on a roof at 73.
Yes, he's like a billy goat. Yeah, you should see him. He can't even find young kids. They can't even
Okay.
carry a 100-pound roll
Okay.
material up a ladder. He runs up and down.
Okay.
Although I want him to retire. I feel guilt. He
Yeah.
was single literally for 26 years before he met me.
Wow.
So when he and his kids are my age, they're a
Okay.
little bit younger than me. So when he met me, he had mentioned he was not going to get married. Was not. And I said, well, unfortunately for me, my end goal is to be married. So you need to make, I said, I'm not into this. Just, marriage is important. I want
Yeah.
that,
You got to channel Beyonce and put a ring on it.
Yeah. So we're married within a year.
Good. Good for you. Good. And happy. Every time you talk about him, your face lights up. That's
Yeah.
sweet.
But so living alone, he was used to having, and he is a cash only guy,
Okay.
which is getting more and more difficult in this day and age. So he always had a sock drawer full of money.
Yeah.
But now, once then, and then, so once we got married and I already had the house, and that's having a house is a lot, and it's an old house.
Yeah.
So knock on wood with him being a roofer, that we can trade work for getting this house. But there's still a lot. I've been in this house for 25 years, and it's still, I mean, I still, one of my bathrooms is still this original bathroom from 1959. Thank God they put black and white tile in it, so it looks, So it's not anything too hideous. But yeah, so I just
Yeah.
he you know bef so when I had the house alone and I was living alone and I had one in, it was just me. I mean, I didn't use paper plates.
Yeah.
I only I rewashed Ziploc bags.
Yeah. Which is good for the environment. So yes, it's a frugal thing, but also it's a sustainable thing. I wanted the reason I brought up earlier about the dogs, is you live in California. I'm in the Bay Area, so I know it's probably more expensive, than even LA proper is. But dog watching overnight in our area is runs between $75 and $90 a night. And I just met a lady who quit teaching to watch dogs, and she advertises on Nextdoor for free and word of mouth, but and so she actually incorporated and is a business, but for cash and living day to day, since you're already such an animal lover, and I know the house is small, but just that side of thinking a little bit outside of the box, that when it comes to retirement, it doesn't mean all money will dry up forever and ever and ever and that kind
That
of
is
thing.
definitely something I have thought about for my retirement years. We had my mom doing that
Okay.
quite a while. And so yeah, that is definitely something that I would consider for sure.
Yeah.
Because yeah,
Yeah. It's just an
I love
idea.
all the
And
animals, and the more the merrier for me.
yeah. And then from the term that the internet uses, when they talk about FIRE. So FIRE is financial independence, retire early, but the retire early really doesn't matter because it's just figuring out your number. But one of the ideas is a quote unquote barista FIRE, where you're retired from your day job, but you still want to be somewhat social. So you go be a barista at Starbucks for a few hours a day. And then that's just like fun money that,
See, I could see me doing something like that for sure, because I do like being out and being social. So, and if you can pay me to do it too.
Totally.
Mm-hmm.
Okay. I'll put some homework in your Google folder. Thank you for taking the time to do
I know,
all
I
of that.
appreciate it. I know, I get to throw all kinds of stuff on you, huh? I
No,
had a crazy upbringing.
that's okay. We're just peeling the onion.
Yeah.
It all works
I know,
out.
but things that are just I don't even think about. I'm like, oh yeah. Dad died. Brother killed himself.
Yeah. So if you had like a magic wand and at the end of these 6 weeks, what would you like to feel like a before and after or some sort of accomplishment?
I would definitely like to have a hardcore long-term plan. I would like to learn to set boundaries. I don't know, that's hard.
It is,
That's going to be the hardest because I know
Okay.
myself.
Okay. Okay.
Can hear my cat meowing at me.
I'll put some book recommendations in your
That would be
notes.
great. But
Okay.
I'm definitely a reader, so.
Okay. Do you have any questions for me before we stop recording?
No, this was just a lot. I just kind of
No, that
said,
was
no, I'll
great.
probably think of it as soon as we sign off,
That's
'cause that's how
okay. I'm
it
not going anywhere.
is.
You can write to me.
All
Okay,
right.
I'm going to hit the end recording, but you can stay on for a sec.
Okay.
Hi there. Okay, Steph here. I'm back, and I just want to close off this episode with lots of hugs to Shelly. She shared freely and openly, and as she describes it, has a very interesting childhood and upbringing. And one thing that we talked about, and I wrote it down in huge caps, is that very powerful phrase that she shared. And it's something that all of you can use in your day-to-day life, which is simply, that does not work for me. That does not work for me. You can change it to this. This doesn't work for me. Depending on where you are and what's going on, maybe it's you're stuck in traffic. Maybe it's an upsetness at the grocery store. And you can decide whether or not you're going to engage and whether or not you're going to keep at it, or if you decide to stop. Maybe not forever. Maybe you're just putting a pause on whatever it is. But then you are in control. You're in the driver's seat when you say, that does not work for me. This is not working for me. This will not work. I refuse to do this anymore. It's a very powerful phrase. I want you to kind of think about that and meditate on that a bit. I like that she is going to do some paper napkin math and figure out her retirement spending. And I'm going to definitely put that in her homework and have her do that. And if that's not something that you have done, I would like for you to do that as well. A few past podcast episodes that popped up while I was listening to the replay. Episode 10 of Mapping Out Your 5-Year Plan. This is a really early on episode of the podcast where I'm talking about a 5-year plan, which is a little bit farther away than I really want coaching clients to work on. I really like to work in 3-year chunks when we're trying to make lasting change. But when you're daydreaming, and for her, it's I wanted her to daydream. What's it going to be like in your 80s? If you stay on the trajectory you're on now in your early 60s, will you be happy with the person you are in your 80s? So listening to that and mapping out your kind of lifelong trajectory. Episode 55, enjoy the journey. While you're making change happen and looking forward to certain aspects of your life, I want you to enjoy the here and the now. And then episode 164, recovering from people pleasing. Shelly brought this up quite a bit when she's talking about boundaries and wanting people to like her. And I think we can all relate to that. I most certainly can, and probably you can too. Okay, pretty people, consider yourself loved and hugged. We'll be back in your earbuds again next week, and I am so happy that you are here on this journey with us. If you are ready to start living slowly and ditch the hustle mindset for good, reach out to me. I'm a real person, and you can track me down online at stephanieoday.com. Also, if you found value in this podcast, please share it with your family and friends and tag me on Instagram at Stephanie O'Day. While you're at it, go ahead and leave a positive review on your favorite podcast app. The more we share, like, the more people we can reach and share the slow down lifestyle and messaging. Thank you, Slow Down Society, and have a great day.